This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, June 1st. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Facebook parent Meta is facing several court cases in Kenya. Some of them stem from allegations that third-party contractors hired to moderate content on the platform have suffered abuses, including worker exploitation and unfair termination. The tech giant is arguing the company shouldn't be involved in those lawsuits because the plaintiffs work for the contractor, not for Meta. In a third lawsuit filed just against Meta, plaintiffs allege its content moderation wasn't sufficient enough to stop hate speech. The outcomes from all three cases could have wide-reaching legal implications, not just for Meta, but for the tech industry and its reliance on outsourced workers, according to lawyers and industry watchers. Our South Africa-based business reporter Alexandra Wexler will join us to discuss that. But first, Twitter is now worth one-third of the $44 billion Elon Musk paid for it in October, according to Fidelity. The asset manager didn't disclose why it marked down the value of its position in Twitter or respond to a request for comment. Fidelity was one of several outside investors that helped finance the deal to take Twitter private, and this is the third time it's marked down the value of its investment. Musk has faced several challenges since taking over Twitter, including losing some of the major advertisers on the platform. Twitter didn't comment. Facebook parent Meta has asked a judge to block the Federal Trade Commission's attempt to impose new sanctions on the company. In a legal proceeding launched last month, the FTC accused Meta of violating a $5 billion privacy settlement from 2019. The agency wants to add restrictions on Meta, such as banning the company from profiting off data it collects about young users. Meta argued in its motion filed yesterday that the FTC can't unilaterally change the original settlement, which included a consent order approved by the district court. The FTC declined to comment. In other FTC news, the agency has reached a nearly $31 million deal with Amazon to settle two separate privacy-related claims. Amazon agreed to pay a $25 million penalty for keeping children's voice and geolocation data collected by its Alexa smart speaker. The move violated the Federal Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, according to the FTC. The company also settled charges that employees of its Ring video doorbell unit used the product to surveil customers. The FTC said one Ring employee viewed thousands of video recordings of female customers in bedrooms and other intimate spaces. In a statement, Amazon said it disagreed with the claims against both Alexa and Ring and denied violating the law. Meanwhile, the e-commerce giant says it's turning to artificial intelligence to help screen for damaged products in its warehouses. Amazon said it expects the technology to reduce the number of damaged items sent out, speed up the picking and packing process, and eventually play a critical role in the company's efforts to automate more of its fulfillment operations. Right now, human workers inspect products for signs of wear and tear before they package them, but that can be time-consuming. And staying with AI, the technology is proving to be a double-edged sword for China. The country's leader, Xi Jinping, is pushing for the modernization of its national security in the face of a range of challenges, including risks created by artificial intelligence. Xi has also called for improved AI security governance. WSJ reporter Karen Howe has more on Xi's vision for AI in China.
On one hand, he sees it being a really important way to strengthen and bolster China's influence and innovation capacity. So we saw on Tuesday that there was an announcement from the city of Beijing to invest 300 billion yuan or $42 billion by 2025 to turn the city of Beijing into this globally influential AI innovation hub. But then you also see instances where she sort of invokes this idea that AI is also really dangerous and can threaten something like national security or the social stability of the country. And you see that with China just moving very quickly to regulate some of the recent generative AI developments. There are many things about AI that feel very threatening to the party. And so it's quite complicated, the role that he wants AI to play for China.
Okay, after the break, three court cases in Kenya could have a big impact on the global tech industry and its reliance on outsourced workers. We'll explain when we come back.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Some Facebook content moderators in Africa are suing the social media giant and the contractor that hired them over worker exploitation and unfair termination. In legal filings, workers claim that reviewing graphic content, including some that contained violence and sexual assault, led to depression, PTSD, and anxiety. The contractor, California-based Sama, denies the allegations and says it supported workers. Facebook parent Meta declined to comment on the litigation. Three separate lawsuits in Kenya are casting a fresh spotlight on the tech industry's far-flung outsourced workforce. With me to discuss this is our South Africa-based business reporter, Alexandra Wexler. Alex, there are three cases here, but I want to start by talking about the one focusing on the health effects faced by Facebook content moderators. Can you tell us a bit more about what these moderators did and how they claimed they were impacted by that experience?
Yes. So the content moderators involved in one of these lawsuits, there are 184 of them. And basically, they say that they've suffered severe psychological trauma, in some cases that's led to physical illness, things from depression to PTSD to anxiety, because of having to look at this really extreme content, including things like child pornography, rape, beheadings, suicides, to basically make sure that the rest of us don't see that kind of content on Facebook.
How has the contractor Sama responded to their claims?
So Sama says that their working environment that they provided for the content moderators was world class. They had a lot of benefits, things like paid parental leave, vacation, healthcare, access to counselors. The moderators had unlimited what they call wellness breaks. You know, if they needed to get up, walk around, sort of shake off what they were looking at. And the moderators are saying that this was not as nice a working environment as Sama claims, that the counselors were unprofessional, including things like not observing confidentiality, that they weren't psychiatrists or psychologists, you know, weren't trained to deal with this kind of level of trauma.
The content that they were looking at was for Facebook. Has Facebook parent Meta responded to this case?
So Meta has declined to comment on the ongoing litigation, but they are arguing in the Kenyan courts that their Kenyan courts don't have any jurisdiction because Meta says that they don't have any offices or any employees in the country directly. They've outsourced all of this work. And the Kenyan courts have preliminarily ruled that they do have jurisdiction, and Meta has appealed that ruling.
What could the implications be if Meta is included in this lawsuit?
A lot of these companies, from Meta to TikTok to other social media giants, outsource a lot of this content moderation into different parts of the world, especially because different parts of the world obviously speak different languages. And so it's very helpful to have local people who understand local social context and local languages moderating that content. So it could open up big tech companies to a whole host of similar suits in other countries, in theory.
What about the implications for Kenya, which has tried to present itself as an outsourcing hub for tech companies?
It could spell actually quite a bit of trouble for Kenya, because Kenya is, as you said, trying to promote itself as a destination for a lot of this tech outsourcing work. So not just content moderation, but work like data annotation, teaching AI systems how to recognize images, recordings. So obviously, if Kenya rules that Meta is responsible for the work that its outsourcers are doing in Kenya, that could definitely have a knock-on effect on companies sort of shrinking their workforce in Kenya.
What about the other two cases? What do they focus on?
Yes. So the first case is Daniel Motong, and he was a content moderator who, a few months after Sama started doing content moderation work for Facebook, he tried to organize around 150 of the moderators to protest working conditions as well as ask for better pay. And he claims that he was fired for attempting to form a union.
We should note that Sama says he was fired for causes unrelated to his attempts to unionize and that the company would have worked with a union had one formed. Okay, so tell us about the second case.
So the second case has been filed against just Meta, not Sama, in Kenya's high court. That was back in December. And that lawsuit was brought by, among other people, the son of an Ethiopian professor who was shot and killed in November 2021 after posts about him, which were allegedly untrue, went viral on Facebook. And the lawsuit is basically claiming that the content moderation taking place in Kenya, which is the reason why the suit has been filed in Kenya, wasn't adequate enough to stop this hate speech. And so that lawsuit is seeking the creation of a victims fund for not just these people who filed the lawsuit, but for anyone who's been affected by similar situations on Facebook in sub-Saharan Africa.
Alex, Facebook did say in a statement that hate speech is not allowed on its platform and that it employs staff with local knowledge and expertise to help find and remove such content. But I'm curious what other big tech companies, you know, beyond Meta, will be watching for in these cases.
Yeah, I think other big tech companies will be watching for how the Kenyan courts handle these cases, the kind of liability that Facebook faces, so they can make decisions about how they're going to handle content moderation and the outsourcing of work like that going forward.
All right, that was our South Africa-based business reporter, Alexandra Wexler. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.